Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here on the second to the last day of 2010. Celeste Headlee is still off until the new year. We'll welcome her back next week. But let's put the facts on the table before we begin our discussion this morning. Michael Vick, you'll recall, was a rising star quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and then he was embroiled in controversy and scandal. Then he was convicted of running an illegal dog fighting ring, and convicted and sent to prison, where he served his time and then came back and was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, where he's been an outstanding performer on the gridiron this year for the NFL. And President Obama certainly started a national conversation by commending Philadelphia Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie for giving Michael Vick a second chance, saying it's important that there are second chances for people in the prison system. And there's been a lot of conversation since, much of it from takeaway listeners. But here's what political commentator Tucker Carlson had to say on Fox News on Tuesday.
Now, I'm a Christian. I've made mistakes myself. I believe fervently in second chances. But Michael Vick killed dogs, and he did in a heartless and cruel way. And I think, personally, he should have been executed for that. He wasn't.
Now, is that just sort of hyperbole for the cable television cameras, or is that a legitimate view or a widely shared view in America? How do former inmates feel about Vick and his comeback? Here's James Walker from Cleveland. He served 30 years in prison for committing murder during a botched armed robbery.
I'm a fan of Mr. Vick. I deplore his actions, but, you know, I embrace the positive in his transformation or in his reintegration. You know, here's a guy who went to prison, lost a lot of money up front, has come out, gotten a second chance, and has excelled at it.
James Walker there, certainly seeing Michael Vick's story as a positive one. Yet, James Walker's story isn't so positive. Since his release in 2007, he's been unable to get a job. He's currently studying for his master's in English. And what do listeners say? Lyndon in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I'm all for second chances. I'm not a fan of Michael Vick, but like everyone else, he should use his second chance to make things right. Kelly from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Felons don't get second chances in the real world. Even nonviolent first-time offenders. It's the last legal Jim Crow. Well, listening to the sort of extremes in responses to Michael Vick's comeback and the notion that Barack Obama floated that it's important to have second chances, it's part of our justice system. Let's talk with Mansfield Frazier. He's the co-publisher of Reentry Advocate magazine, which is distributed in state prisons in Ohio and federal prisons nationwide. Mansfield, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, this is such a fascinating conversation because the Michael Vicks of the world get a second chance. If you're convicted of a sex offense, particularly against children, you may never be able to pay your debt to society. Your whereabouts, you'll be on a list. Your neighbors will know what you've done. So it's a moving target in America who gets a second chance and who doesn't. Did the president sort of inadvertently pick some low-hanging fruit here by talking about the Michael Vick story in the sense that it's not really typical?
Well, I think he used that as a segue. It's a high-profile case, and it certainly was an opportunity. Yeah, it probably was low-hanging fruit to start a dialogue that I think he's been wanting to start for quite some time. But and we in the reentry community have been kind of expecting it, but it's actually sooner than I thought he would start it. I didn't think he would really start it until his second term, and yes, he will get a second term, but. So I'm very pleased, but I'm a little surprised. I think you'll see him kind of back away from it, let it simmer. But everything he said, even as a candidate when he was running for the presidency, is that he supports reentry. And I think maybe the time is now because a lot of states are suffering with their budgets. So he may see this as an opportunity to introduce that conversation that one way states can kind of save some money is cut out this nonsense of over-incarceration.
Well, the over-incarceration is one issue. The question of your prison record following you around and nullifying your ability to actually be in the economy is another one. What are the barriers to re-entry economically, and are they higher for some and lower for others?
Well, obviously they are. One of the problems, of course, is that the average education attainment and people going into prison is 10th grade. Coming out, it's a little over 11th grade. That's a real problem. If, you know, in Ohio, it's called the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, one of the few states in the nation that use that term. Well, if you're not getting people like James Walker, who is a good friend of mine, he's struggling, but he managed to get a bachelor's degree. But every study done shows that the more education that's attained while incarcerated, the lower the recidivism rate. So,
but Mansfield, listen to this and comment on this, because this is what's really frustrating. Here's somebody who's trying to do everything right, James Walker. You say you know him. Listen to his sort of response to the notion of what happens when you try to get a job, James.
Most often, I never get to an interview because the application, you know, asks the question. And, of course, being honest about my background, I am more often than not, or virtually all of the time, excluded from consideration.
Now, his experience is there is no value in most employers' eyes to having paid your debt to society. It's not like, you know, if you served in the Army. It's completely different.
It's called a negative credential, and I'm completely aware of it. It's multifaceted, and here's what I mean. There's a professor, a Princeton professor, woman, Deva Pager, who did a study. She sent four groups of people out to apply for a job. All had the same background, around the same age. It was a double-blind controlled study. A white guy who said he'd never been to prison, a white guy who said he had been to prison, a black guy who said he'd never been to prison, and a black guy who said he had been to prison. And she saw who got called back the most. Well, this being America, obviously, the white guy who never been to prison got called back the most. Who got called back the second most? The white guy got called back more than a black guy who'd never been to prison. So obviously race is playing into this, and the study was replicated in New York City, and I would suggest you can replicate that study in any city in the United States.
Well, certainly the reentry challenge is sort of set out in that story there. Very quickly before we go, and we really have to go, what should Michael Vick say to generalize his story, do you think, to inmates?
I've changed. I'm going to prove I changed. And he's already said that. He just needs to keep doing what he's doing. And don't let him wear him down with it.
Oh, well, we'll see if he makes it to the Super Bowl. That'll certainly keep the conversation going.
That certainly will help, won't it?
Mansfield Frazier, co-publisher of Reentry Advocate magazine, distributed in state prisons in Ohio and Michigan and federal prisons nationwide. He's an ex-offender himself. Who gets a second chance? That's the conversation on The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.